It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, your host, and so glad you joined me for the program today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul says this. He says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" I want to talk to you today on Fresh Oil about the power of God's grace. You know, grace is one of the most beautiful and important subjects in all of Scripture. It's often defined as God's unmerited favor, but it's so much more than that. His kindness and goodness given to us, even though we don't deserve it, is certainly a part of grace. But grace is more than just a theological concept. It's a transforming power that enables us to live out our Christian faith and the life that God has called us to live. I often define grace as God's ability in you to do for you what you cannot do yourself. We are certainly saved by grace because when we were powerless, God extended His grace and He brought salvation to us. So the very first encounter we have with grace is God's grace saves us. He tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, two of the most important verses in all of Scripture. Paul said, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Grace is a gift from God. It's not something you earn or achieve by your good works. It's a gift that God freely gives us because of His character, His love. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him won't perish but have everlasting life." So it's an extension of God's love. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, and I love this verse, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You ever see somebody demonstrating on TV? Maybe it's a political rally, or maybe it's the confirmation of one of the president's cabinet members. And you see somebody demonstrating. They're getting their point across. Do you know God demonstrated? He demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for you to get good enough. He came to you in your sinful condition. Secondly, grace frees us from guilt. You know, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death." Through grace, our sins are forgiven and we're made right with God. No matter how far we've fallen, His grace covers us, and it frees us from that guilt and condemnation. Over the last 40 years, I've talked to so many people who had a difficult time letting go of their past. They were constantly condemned by the devil, and they had to come to an understanding that God's grace covered their past. In Psalm 103, verse 12, he says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." You see, my friend, it's only because of grace that we're no longer enemies of God, but now we are dearly loved children. John put it this way in John 1 and verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." So our very first encounter with grace is the fact that we understand our salvation is a gift from God, and it comes by grace through faith. But secondly, friend, God's grace also sustains us. That means it gets us through each and every day of our battle in this life. God told Paul, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, what did God mean by that statement? He's saying, my grace is enough. You don't need anything more, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. And my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, the Apostle Paul was going through this weakness that he called his thorn in the flesh. And he prayed several times for the Lord to remove it. And he didn't do it. He gave him the grace to go through it. God sustains us in our weakness. He equips us and empowers us through grace to get through whatever trial we're facing. Paul experienced this firsthand when he prayed, take this away from me, Lord. And God tells him, my grace is enough. You see, friend, in our moments of weakness, even in our failures and our struggles, God's grace strengthens us and it carries us through. My friend Scott Wesley Brown wrote a song years ago that became a very well-known hit. Said, if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. I asked Scott one day, how did you write that song? Where did the inspiration come from? And he told me it came from the beautiful poem, Footprints in the Sand. Do you remember that poem? One night I dreamed a dream as I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and one to the Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said if I decided to follow you, that you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. And he whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never even during the trials and testings when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. What a beautiful thing to remember. God has promised I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So his grace is sufficient for us. He sustains us and carries us even during our darkest, darkest trials. And secondly, grace gives us peace. Life is full of trials, but God's grace gives us peace in the midst of the storm. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is a real rest that we get in Christ when we understand grace. We don't have to strive or worry, trying to be good enough for God to accept us because we understand we've been adopted into the family. And when we rest in God's grace, we know that he is in control. And God's grace is sufficient for every need, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. I love Psalm 23. In verse 1, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. In Hebrew, it's Jehovah Rohi. And it means he's my shepherd. He leads me. He feeds me. He cares for me as a shepherd would his sheep. His grace ensures that we are never without provision. The Apostle Paul said at one point, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then thirdly today, God's grace not only saves us, it not only sustains us, but it empowers us. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12, it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Apart from grace, the Christian life would be impossible. But grace transforms us. God's grace doesn't just save us, but it transforms us, it changes us, and it teaches us to live differently. It teaches us to say no to sin and pursue righteousness. See, your flesh is drawn to do whatever pleases the flesh. But God's grace empowers us and enables us to say no to the flesh and pursue righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, I love where Paul says, therefore, stop and see what it's there for. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. See, grace gives us strength for obedience. It teaches us to say no to sin. Living a godly life is not something we can do on our own. Friend, it requires the grace of God. And that grace empowers us to follow God's commands and to live according to His will. This is explained by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, when he said this, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." See, God doesn't just tell us the good things we need to do. He works in us to will, to change our will, to give us the want to make good decisions and do what's right. And He gives us this will to do what's right and act according to His purpose. God's grace gives us spiritual gifts to serve Him and to serve His church. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. We covered this recently on Fresh Oil. He said, "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Do you realize, friend, that even when you're serving and doing good deeds that God's called you to do, you're using grace? Whether it's teaching or giving or encouraging, grace empowers us to make a difference in our world so that God will get the glory. Finally today, in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, Paul says this, "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Here in this verse, we see the overflow of grace in our lives. Grace will give you all that you need. You'll have all things at all times, having all that you need, and you will abound in every good work, Paul said. Grace leads to gratitude. You know, when we recognize the depth of God's grace, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving, and we can't help but praise Him for His goodness and His love. Paul would say in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Friend, grace produces generosity. God's grace doesn't stop with us. It'll overflow to the people who we come in contact with. We will be more gracious to our families, to our loved ones, to our church family. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 11, he said, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion." I met a pastor one time who kept money in his right pocket separate from his wallet that he kept in his left pocket because his right pocket was his giveaway money. I thought that was so interesting because every time he met somebody who had a need, he would reach in that right pocket and he would pull out some money, and he would help whoever had a need. See, friend, grace produces generosity. My friend, the power of God's grace is truly life-changing. It saves us when we're lost, it sustains us when we're weak, and it empowers us to live out the Christian life God has called us to live. Grace isn't just a concept or theology. It's the very heartbeat of our faith and the foundation of our relationship with God. So how do we respond to this amazing grace? We receive it, and then we live it out, letting God transform our lives. And finally, we share it with those around us. Thanks for joining me today on Fresh Oil as we talked about the amazing grace of God. He loves you, my friend. He really does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.